Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our service. We're a wee bit thin on the ground today because I understand the Brayhead Lunch and Leisure Club are away off to a pantomime, so that always depletes our numbers somewhat, but it's lovely to see everyone who's here. Just great, and it's lovely and warm in the church, isn't it, compared to outside, certainly. Most of the intimations are as printed. The Super Sunday is today, so if you possibly can, do please join us down in the main hall for a plate of soup after our service, and I'll speak a bit more about that during the service. This Wednesday evening, our Kirk session meets at 7 o'clock in the small hall. Next Sunday, can you believe it? It's the beginning of Advent. Oh, help, where did that come from? And there'll be a carol service in the bank hall at 3 o'clock that afternoon. The Wednesday following that, Wednesday the 5th of December, we'll have a Taizé service here in the church. So again, everyone's welcome to that. That starts at 7 o'clock. Christmas fair next Saturday, 10 till 12. I think we all know what a wonderful event the Christmas fair always is. So do make sure that you're here in good time or you'll miss some of the good stuff. I think I'll probably leave all the other. St. Nicholas Choir Christmas concert is also on the 2nd of December, but it's in the afternoon. So that's always well worth going to. It's a fantastic evening. And you don't have to buy tickets, you just give a donation. I've got one or two other things that have come in. You're aware that we did this 90 kilogram rice challenge. And we have succeeded in selling virtually all the rice. The two schools that I left some with have still got a few bags left, but they're quite confident that they will sell it. But we've been sent our certificate of achievement to say that we succeeded in selling our 90 kilograms of rice, which means that one child in Malawi will be able to go to school for a year. So that was a well worthwhile thing. And also just this week, our latest letter from John McCulloch, our mission partner in Israel and Palestine, is in. There's lovely photos and also a very interesting read. David is our mission correspondent, so he has a copy of it. And this is a spare copy, and it will also be on the website. So if anyone's interested in that, do let me know. I can give you that copy or print another one if anybody wants it. Is that all the intimations? Probably. There's probably something else I've forgotten. There usually is. Today is when we celebrate Christ the King. It's the last Sunday before the beginning of Advent. So in the church, this is the last Sunday of the year. And it's also Super Sunday. And in my funny head, the two fit together really well. And you can tell me at the end of the service whether you agree or not. It's maybe a whole mash. But we come to worship God. God is love. We are all God's children, and He loves us. We can only love one another because God first loved us. And perfect love drives out fear. So our psalm for today is Psalm 93. The Lord reigns, He is robed in majesty. We'll say it alternate verses as usual. The Lord reigns, He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. Amen. So our first hymn is number 129 in the Purple Books, The Lord is King.
Thank you.
Well, the youngsters, our jigsaw, have asked that they stay in the hall right through the service today because they're busy practicing for the nativity, which we'll all look forward to. So I actually didn't expect any youngsters in church, so apologies, I haven't really got a children-friendly bit here, but bear with me. Because we're celebrating Super Sunday today, this is a day when we raise money for the Church of Scotland HIV programme. So I thought, it's something that's not in the headlines anymore, but it is still very prevalent, and I wonder how much we all know about HIV and AIDS. So I've got a quick quiz for us to start off with, and then we've got some photos to look at. So to the nearest million, how many people worldwide were living with HIV at the end of 2013? You can stick your hands up. Who thinks 22 million? Who thinks 35 million? And who thinks 48 million? It's 35 million, so it's not quite as bad as some of you think. Most of you were right on that one. People can become infected with HIV from unsafe sex, from injecting drugs, from blood transfusions. Which do you think is true of those? All of them, yeah. Oh, you're good. How many children were living with HIV at the end of 2013? 3 million, 4 million, or 5 million? Who thinks 3 million? One person? 4 million? More folks? 5 million? Well, the good news, it's actually only 3 million. But of course, this is a, yeah, well done, Margaret. This is a few years out of date. What's the difference between HIV and AIDS? HIV is a virus and AIDS is a bacteria. There's no difference, or HIV is the virus that causes AIDS. Who thinks A? Nobody's that daft, that's good. Who thinks B? And who thinks C? Yeah, oh, you're very good, I'm very impressed. You can tell someone has HIV because A, they look tired and ill, B, there's no way to tell, and C, they have a bad cough. Who thinks A? Who thinks B? And who thinks C? It's B again, so most of you are right. Well done, everyone. A person can become infected with HIV by being sneezed on by an infected person, by holding hands with an infected person, both of these, or neither of these. What do you vote for? D, neither. Yeah, I think you've seen this quiz before. I think you've sneaked a look at it. Is there a cure for AIDS? Yes, no, or only available at certain clinics? There is no cure. It can be controlled, but there is no cure. What is the leading HIV-associated disease in developing countries? Pneumonia, the common cold, or tuberculosis? Who thinks A, common cold? A few. Who thinks pneumonia? Sorry, I've got them in the wrong order. And who thinks tuberculosis? It's tuberculosis, as I learnt when I was in Zambia. ART is now available. What does it stand for? AIDS-related treatment, assisted remedial treatment, or antiretroviral treatment? Who thinks C? Quite a few. Who thinks B? And who thinks A? A few. It's actually C. It's antiretroviral, because the HIV virus is one of a family called retroviruses. And lastly, for ART, for that antiretroviral therapy to work properly, what do you need? A balanced diet, money, access to a medical scanning machine. Who thinks C? Who thinks money, B? And who thinks A, a balanced diet? And the majority are right. You need a balanced diet. And again, I learned that from experience. because people with HIV can be so weak and so depleted that their bodies are not able to respond to the treatment unless they've got a good balanced diet as well. Okay, you did very well. I'm very impressed with you all. We've got one or two photos just to show you how widespread the work of the HIV project that we're supporting today is. This is from their project in Ekwendeni, which is in Malawi. And of course, we've already had a connection with Malawi through the Rice Challenge. We know it's the poorest country in the world. So Church of Scotland support a project there. They've also got one in Thailand, where there's a big HIV problem, and the Church of Scotland help there. They've got projects in China or work with other organizations like the Amity Foundation to help people with HIV in China. They've got projects in Zambia, in Mwandi, and I've actually been to Mwandi, and I could tell you some pretty horrific stories, but the most important thing that I learned there was the importance of counseling, that people are offered counseling as well as a blood test. Because whether you come back negative or positive, you need to know what to do with that information. There's a great thing of people burying their head in the sand. They won't go and be tested because they don't want to know. But once they know, they can be given advice to how to prevent, if they're positive, how to stop passing on the infection to others. And in particular for women, there are ways that they can deal with it at birth that prevents their children being born with the virus. And equally, if they come back negative, then they can find ways of staying negative, of protecting themselves and staying healthy. So the counseling was incredibly important. And also all the centers that help with HIV give out food or vouchers for food as well, because they're not gonna get better unless they've got a good balanced diet as well. Zimbabwe, they've got projects there, and often they work at improving people's lifestyle as well. So you can see here they've been teaching them to grow vegetables and giving them chickens. So they've not only got chicken to eat, but they've got eggs as well. In Kenya, you've got another project there. And even in Edinburgh, we might think it's all in Africa, but there are people living with HIV in our own communities. And here in Edinburgh is the organization called Positive Help, helping people with HIV. And then out to India, Kalimpong, they've got a project out there. Over in Nepal, they've got a project there. And in Nigeria. So as you can see, it's a pretty worldwide spread of help that the Church of Scotland project is giving. And of course, everyone is part of God's kingdom. Christ is King. And therefore, we are called to care for everybody, whether they're the same as us or not. So let's sing now. And we're going to sing this from a video. Is it all set up? Good, good. Majesty, worship His Majesty. This is a hymn that we sang at our Songs of Praise on Wednesday night. And it's a beautiful modern hymn. So we're just trying out today. The music and the words will all come from the PowerPoint, so we'll see how we get on with that. Stand if you're able and sing Majesty, worship His Majesty.
Jesus, be all glory, honor, and praise.
And now let us come before God in prayer, and we will end with the Lord's Prayer. Loving God, Creator of all, we gather to praise you because we are part of your amazing universe. There is so much complexity and boundless variety at every turn. Plant life is rich in its variety, from plankton to great redwood trees. The animal kingdom is mesmerizing in breadth of range, from tiny mice and shrews up to elephants and giraffes and rhinoceros. And even humanity has wonder and awe in our variation. Tall and short, fat and thin, able-bodied and not so able, straight and gay, young and old, male and female, skins of many hues, nationalities from every corner of the globe. Lord, we are all so different, yet we are all made one in your image. We confess that sometimes we focus on our differences rather than what we have in common. We ask for mercy for times when we are suspicious of others simply because they are not one of us. All people are your children. All people are beloved by you. Thank you that we are part of such a wonderful human family. And thank you for our church family and all visitors with whom we meet today. And as Jesus taught us to pray, let's together say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We now come to our two readings from the Bible, and Miriam is going to come forward and read, first of all, from the last book in the Bible, but the first chapter of it, from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4b to 8. And then our gospel reading is from, and I've just lost it, John chapter 18, and verses 33 to 37, which is during the arrest of Jesus and where he is questioned by Pilate.
Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus, who is the unfaithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "I am a Jew," Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. Amen. May God bless his reading to his holy word.
Thanks, Miriam. Our hymn before the sermon is number 641, continuing the theme of the Christ the King and the Kingdom of God. Seek ye first the Kingdom of God. If we seek that first, then we don't really need anything else. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts and minds be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock, our redeemer, and our friend. Amen. Christ the King and Super Sunday. It was way back in 1925 that Pope Pius XI instituted a new liturgical observance called the Feast of Christ the King. He did this because he felt that followers of Christ were being lured away by the increasing secularism of the world. They were choosing to live in the kingdom of this world rather than in the reign of God. Nothing much has changed in the last 93 years, sadly, has it? situation is still very much the same. So I thought it'd be a good idea to follow the lectionary and prepare for the beginning of Advent and Christmas by looking at Christ, our King. And in the topsy-turvy way of Jesus, or maybe it's just of me, Super Sunday fits right in. The Sunday before Advent might seem a strange time to look at Jesus speaking to Pilate, but it gives us real insight into Christ the King. Pilate, the Roman governor, thought that he was in charge, but Jesus knows differently. Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus, as so often, doesn't give a straight answer, but instead replies with another question. And he asks Pilate where his question came from. Now, usually when an accused person is standing before the person of authority, they're not usually the ones to ask the questions. But Jesus is different. Strangely, it seems that Pilate actually answered his own question. Because if we read on a bit, not much later, we find Pilate presenting Jesus back to the crowd with the words, "Here is your king." And then when the crowd insisted on Jesus' crucifixion, Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross saying, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Yet Pilate was not really concerned about Jesus' religious authority. He was only concerned with any political authority that Jesus might have as King of the Jews, and more importantly, about what threat that might pose to Pilate's own rule. So Pilate replied, and the wording is easy to get mixed up over, but he actually said, "Am I a Jew?" For Pilate was not Jewish. And then he continues, "It was your own people and chief priests handed you over to me." It was Jesus' own people and the Jewish high priests who had handed him over. And so Pilate says, "What is it you have done?" The conversation almost looks like a game of chess, doesn't it? Pilate thinks he's got the upper hand, and then Jesus changes the direction of the questions. And again here, rather than replying directly to Pilate's question, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Because what neither Pilate, and I think often we, don't fully grasp is that God's kingdom is not a different location. It's not a different time and place, but rather it's a different character. It's about truth, not violence. Every Sunday, and indeed at most Planet Earth Club meetings, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that is a good summary of what God's kingdom is all about. It's wherever and whenever God's will is done. And what is God's will? Well, we don't need to look far to have that wonderful summary that Jesus gave us. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And the second and equally important commandment, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Super Sunday is about loving our neighbors. The Church of Scotland was quite outspoken when it first began its work supporting those with HIV and AIDS. And I've got a wee story to explain why that is. A very sad story in my eyes. One of the people that I met through bike rides, a good Christian man, and I would describe him as a friend, although we have very different opinions. One day the subject of HIV came up, and he really angrily told me that HIV was God's punishment on those people. I was really shocked at his vehemence. And he refused to listen when I tried to discuss it. When I tried to ask, well, what about the people who were infected with the virus through blood transfusions? Or the many babies who were born HIV positive? In Zambia, I saw the devastation caused by this virus. The whole country, effectively one whole generation, was pretty much wiped out by HIV. And that was the generation who earned money and who therefore paid taxes. So they were left with children, many of whom were orphans and many were HIV, and the elderly people who had lost family and were devastated. But thankfully today things are improving. There are effective treatments, as long as there's a balanced diet to go with them, and there are ways of preventing the infection from being passed on. But this virus is still a very real threat, and the stigma, unfortunately, remains. I mentioned John McCulloch, our mission partner, who is based in Israel and Palestine, and in his latest newsletter, he quotes Martin Luther King Jr., and who said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." John was referring to the political injustice and military occupation of Palestine, but the quotation applies equally well in many situations. Are we doing enough to speak out about what's wrong in our own community? About the level of poverty amongst our children? About what is happening with the government support for people? I don't know if we're doing enough. But when we do our little bit, whether locally or like the 90 kilogram rice challenge, which means that one more Malawian child will go to school for a year, or today's Super Sunday, where donations will help in practical ways to support people affected by HIV, and that by doing this openly as a church, we're also helping just a little bit to break the stigma. Or we're coming soon to our annual gift day, when we give gifts for the Salvation Army to distribute to impoverished children in our own country. As a church family and as a community, I'm so proud of all the ways in which we do reach out to our neighbors with God's love. And when we do this, we are a small part of God's kingdom coming. We are acknowledging that Christ is King. And it's good to remember that that's who we're doing this for, and that's whose strength we do what we can do. I'm going to just go through that wonderful reading from Revelation. It begins, "Grace and peace to you." Grace was the Greek greeting, charis. And peace was the Hebrew greeting, shalom. So even in the first three words, he is bringing people together. And he, "Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth." This is who the grace and peace to us comes from. And we look to him, to Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, who has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. As a church, we believe in the priesthood of all believers, and here's one of the verses that outlines that, which is why I encourage different people to take part in worship, to read the Bible, to lead prayers, because we are called, all of us, to be priests. All of us make up the kingdom of God. To him be glory and power forever and ever. And then we look to the future, not just to Christmas next month, but to when Christ will return. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. This Bible reading's been around for centuries, and yet now, with the wonders of internet and satellite communications, when Christ does return, it will be possible for people all over the world to see him instantly, if that's what God wills. So shall it be. And then the last verse, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I am reminds us of Moses speaking to the burning bush, or rather listening to God's voice, where God won't give a name but says, I am who I am. And all those wonderful readings in John's Gospel where Jesus declares, I am the Lamb of God, the Good Shepherd, the Light of the world, the Word. Christ has always been the King. He is now and always will be the King. And it is in his strength that we reach out to our neighbors. And we know what happens when we give even just a little bit into God's hands. Just remember the feeding of 5,000 from just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Amen. We continue our worship of Christ the King with our offering. And the youngsters from, I think it's Michael we've got today, and Nicole are also going to be giving out today's prayer for our prayer boxes. Let's pray. Loving, living God, we thank you that we live in a safe place, that most of us are free from poverty, free from starvation, and that the majority of our country are free from that virus, HIV. So, Lord, we pray for those who are not so fortunate, and we ask you to accept these, our offerings, given with grateful hearts, and ask you to use them, along with our worship, our prayers, and our lives, for the growth of your kingdom, here and forth, and throughout the world. In the name of Christ the King. Amen. Our next hymn is again about Christ the King. It's a great topic because there's lots of hymns on that theme. Number 470, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does its successive journeys run. And of course, the sun shines everywhere on earth. So hymn 470. As we come before God in prayer, we're going to start our prayer with the prayer we've all just been given, because it's a beautiful prayer. Thank you very much to Michael and Nicole for handing these out. Oh, just for today, help me, God, to remember life is a gift, that my health is a blessing, and that this new day is filled with potential, that I have the capacity to bring something new and unique into this world. Just for today, God, help me to remember you. Let this be a good day, full of joy and love. And we'll continue with our prayers for others. Divine Parent of all, Christ the King and Holy Spirit, we pray for those who are sitting around us, our brothers and sisters in this local limb of your body, the Church. Some have come today with gladness and celebration. Others come with sadness and tribulation. but together we come to support one another, for we understand what it means to love our neighbor. And in a short time of silence, let us all name before God the people and the situations who we know of who are in need of prayer and help today. Hear our prayer for our neighbors nearby, we pray. Divine Parent of all, Christ the King and Holy Spirit, we pray for those immediately beyond the walls of this church today, our brothers and sisters in this local community, our neighbors across the fence, our colleagues at work, local acquaintances, and strangers alike. We know of some concerns in this area, and we hold them before you now. We do not know the details of many other worries and concerns, yet we pray to support others in their need, for we understand what it means to love our neighbor. Lord, hear our prayer for our neighbors nearby, we pray. Divine Parent of all, Christ the King and Holy Spirit, we pray for those who are far from us, our brothers and sisters around this nation, our brothers and sisters in humanity around the world, those who are like us and those who are different from us, Christians, Hindus, Muslims, Jews, Sikhs, Buddhists, atheists, and more. We hear of so much trouble and terror, horror and heartache, but we cannot possibly be aware of each and every need. So we pray for all those who need your blessing today. And in particular today, we pray for those who are HIV positive or have HIV-related illnesses. We pray for support from healthcare professionals and from families and friends, and pray that people will hear and respond to the message that HIV is still present and continues to infect millions, both at home and abroad. For as people of faith, we understand what it means to love our neighbor. Hear our prayer for our neighbors throughout the world, we pray. In and through, and for the sake of Christ the King, we ask all this. Amen. Our final hymn is number 279. Make way, make way for Christ the King. And you remember, this is the one that in the chorus, we have men singing and then we have women singing, so we divide up. You all know it really well, so just go for it. Give it Laldi.
Thank you.
And now, before we go back out into the world and the week ahead, we're all going to enjoy a bowl of soup. So I'm just going to say grace just now. Lord, we ask you to bless the soup and the bread, the simple things of the earth that you have given us. And as we eat and chat and enjoy fellowship with one another, we ask you to bless us all and bless those who the money raised will help. And then as we go out into the week, may we remember that Christ is the King, and he is the one that both calls us and helps us to love our neighbors, both locally and worldwide, as if they were us. And now may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each and every one of us today and forevermore.